Delayed meeting of the Veterans and Emergency Services Committee. I'm glad that we were able to have an opportunity to take part in the rest of the recognitions today. Appreciate that opportunity. At this point, I'd like to open a public hearing on House Bill 2762. And Representative Clem, thank you for joining us. Paul, were you going to come up with him? Or?
Please.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2762 would designate May 8th of each year as Military Appreciation Day. We do have an amendment before us that would just insert family before appreciation, so it would be Military Family Appreciation Day. And we have this does not have a fiscal or a revenue impact, and we do have we do have that document before us as well.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us and bringing us this bill, Representative.
My pleasure. For the record, Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Brian Clem. I'm a state representative from House District 21 here in Central and East Salem. And because you just came from a ceremony and we had such a nice, moment, thanks to Representative Matthews in the House, I'm not going to give a big speech, but I know Paul and I were talking earlier on in the interim about about military families and what they're going through. We've talked about it a lot today, so I'm not going to go into a bunch of details. We all know that they need our support and respect. And so the question is, well, what would we do? So I think we've got some concepts and a plan that go along with this that I just wanted to have Paul share with you and answer any questions.
Thank you. Mr. Evans.
Chair Cowan, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Paul Evans. I'm Governor's Policy Advisor for Military and Veterans Affairs. And I just want to thank Representative Clem for putting this bill forward. The goal of Military Family Appreciation Day is really threefold. And it's more important this year probably than it will be for several years in the future. But here we are. The first is that we're planning on having, if this day should come to pass, which we hope it will, we're planning on having events throughout the state in targeted communities. And the purpose is to bring people together in a way we haven't quite been able to do yet so far, to bring the cities, the counties, the faith community, the nonprofits, and all the current veterans support groups together for a program that includes information and education about available services, for information that explains what military service really means in a community, for an opportunity for a community service project that brings people together to plant a tree or do something in a park where they get to sweat together and get to know each other, and then an opportunity to share some food, drink, and community together. And our hope is, and our long-term vision is, that these networks will continue to meet, continue to talk about issues, continue to work together so that in about a year, when the 41st Brigade comes back from its tours overseas, that network is in place, and we have we can basically help the folks reintegrate a little better than we have in the past. It's building on the success that's already been done. We're hoping that this first year we'll actually have a little bit of an information day here at the Capitol in the morning of that event, and hopefully the timing will work out just right so that the governor can sign the bill into law and make sure that military families have that day once a year. The emphasis on this, however, again, is it's not just for the National Guard or the Reserves. It's for all veteran families, all service. And we're trying to make sure that it's not misunderstood for what it's not. It's not an advertisement campaign for recruiting. It's not a glorification of war, but rather a recognition of the service that occurs and the impact of that service and how really, when you start looking at the facts, we're all in this together. And that's the hope of the bill.
Thank you. What day of the week is May 8th this year?
Friday, I think. Friday.
So it is a weekday, and we...
I don't even know what the day is.
Yes, Friday. Yeah.
On May 8th.
August 19th.
Yes.
Almost Friday.
Okay. I was just trying to think through the logistics right. A little bit, and that leaped into my mind. Are we talking a weekday or a weekend? And so I just wanted to get that clarified.
Yes, Chair Cowan, representative, member of the committee... We were trying to make sure that that most of the activities are in the evening, starting around 6 to 8 after the workday, so that folks could come out, enjoy the sunshine, and celebrate community together that way. It is a weekday this year. We're hoping to have a fixed date, so it will change as the years go through.
Certainly, yes. Okay. Thank you. Questions? Representative Riley.
Thank you. Paul, you said right at the beginning of your statement that it's maybe more important this year than it will be in the future, and I just hope you're right.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
So one of the things I'm looking forward to this was next week that we're going to be hearing a resolution here on honoring, requesting a postage stamp for the 442nd. And
a week from today.
Yeah, and just generally, I think it's going to have an ongoing effect. I mean, my dad was a Vietnam vet, and it had a profound impact on him, and therefore me. I got scholarships because my grandfather was a veteran, and so many people are in military families and have been. And we don't stop and necessarily think about that. I mean, I generally, because I don't have a brother, a sister, a wife, a child in active duty now or any time in recent memory, I don't usually spend to think about what it was like for my dad to come back from Vietnam. But I know it had an impact. I mean, a tremendous one, and not usually positive, generally speaking, you know, from the few times he's willing to talk about it. So I think it's good to stop and remember that most of us actually are in a military family, and we need to think about that. And I need to call my dad and talk to him about it, you know, and thank him again.
I think on this committee, we can pretty safely say we are all members of a military family. All of us have some history, if not personal, very close family members. Of course, for me, my dad was in World War II, not Vietnam. But, okay, there's a little bit of a generational difference here. We're going to hear a little bit more about family members today, I think. So thank you for bringing this forward. Any other questions, comments for these folks? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for hearing the bell.
You bet. Thank you. Jim Willis and Elon, would you like to come up at the same time? Elon Lambert, right?
Yes.
Oh, I got the pronunciation.
Madam Chair, normally I would say ladies first, but since I'm going to be very brief, and I'll leave the time to you, if that would be all right. Madam Chair, on behalf of the men and women of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, I am Jim Willis, director of that agency, and I want to say how strongly we support this bill and how necessary we think it is. We have seen evidence of what you heard from Representative Klim and from Mr. Evans, and we know that to create this network will help families, especially during the deployment, and then bring them together again when those deployments are over, and assist future families of both active duty personnel and Guard and Reserve. I think it's a great bill. I'm strongly in favor of it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Elon Lambert. I'm a veteran and mental health advocate, and for the record, I'm in support of House Bill 2762. I'd like to speak to this from two or three different perspectives. One is I also have a parent, and my father was in World War II. When I was born, my mother almost died, and my father had to come home. And from the concept of a family member, his being away really made it very difficult for my family, and he ended up getting a hardship discharge because of it. But I also think that with this, that the military families, and I was a military wife also, is that I think sometimes the families get the least amount of focus and the least attention, and they're really, in my mind, a lot of the core that's there for the soldier, for the military person going off to wherever. And I think that they need to be recognized, and maybe they might not want to stand out personally and be recognized, but I think the concept of that we as a community recognizing them needs to happen. And part of it is that I can tell you as a community member, I've been looking for ways that I can serve our military during this time. And for me, this is one of the ways to serve for community members who might not have any other way to do that, is to actually be part of a community that comes together and just as a personal member of the community, but also businesses and the faith community. I'm also an ordained minister, and I can tell you from that perspective that I know that there are only there's going to be two chaplains left once the deployment happens. That to me is kind of scary, and for those family members. So for the faith communities to be able to also support and not evangelize, not do any of that, but just be in service. And I actually made an announcement last week at the clergy conference on returning vets and said that this was possibly going to happen, and had numerous clergy come up to me and volunteer, and actually five clergy members from the same church in Medford said, we want to be a part of this. And so I think that the faith communities really want to, you know, be involved and as Paul has said, bring the goodies, but I think they really want to be in service also. And I think that the networking that can happen for the communities, for employers, for whatever kinds of services to come together is to be able to provide that network, that relationship that's the safety net for family members particularly. I know when I was a military wife, there was a lot of times feeling alone. And I can remember one woman when our husband's ship deployed, she didn't even know how to write a check in her checkbook. So we kind of circled around her and really closed ranks and helped her out. And I see that that's what this bill will do, is to have the community close ranks around our military families and really support them in a way that really needs to happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Committee members, we also have with us today a family member and a military, a recent returnee, and I think that this is an appropriate time to allow us to hear from him, but I would like to give Representative Widener the opportunity to introduce him.
Thank you. Madam Chair, thank you. I'm proud of my son. He's 23 in the Air Force, and just wanted him to come here. He's really nervous about testifying, especially since I told him the chair is no different than the TIs he had in basic training. So he did notify me that the women TIs were worse than the male TIs, so he doesn't need to be too awful nervous. And I'm just proud and honored to have him come forward, and I asked Jim to come forward with him to help him feel a little more comfortable, and told him we wouldn't beat him up too bad with questions, but just to give us an idea of what they have to go through when they're integrating back in and coming back from Iraq and Qatar and the different places that they've been. So, and he's got probably one more tour that he'll be doing over there. So with that, I would like to bring up Jim Willis and Roy Ramirez Widener.
Welcome. And Roy, I just try to make sure that your father understands that, because I have this big hand. But actually, in another life, I'm a nicer person. But don't tell him. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you for your service. I have to tell you that today is kind of a special and difficult day for me as well, as we commemorate the anniversary date of the beginnings of the war. My son was stationed in Qatar on that day and was the flight surgeon for the stealth squadron that dropped the first bunker buster bombs. And I remember this day very clearly, as sitting there watching TV that evening. And I knew I was going to do this. Watching the bombs fall and calling my spouse, who wasn't home, in tears to say, it started. And I know what it feels like. So I'm very glad that you're back safely. We appreciate your service, and anything that you'd like to share with us today, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, I understand what your son has done and everything like that. Being in Iraq, I mean, was an experience for myself. Wouldn't say necessarily good or bad, but it just was an experience in general.
Why don't you introduce yourself by name?
Apologize. Oh, I was going to be nice.
Apologize,
but yes.
About that. My name is Roy Ramirez. I'm currently in the Air Force. Been in for 3.5 years, Security Forces member. But anyways, done a tour to Iraq and Qatar. also just some things that I guess I'd like to talk about is coming back. It's a pretty rough transition, being a single guy, not married or anything like that. It's rough to try and find a place to live, living off base. It's kind of tough to find a place, having to come back, signing on a lease, and then when you're getting ready to leave, closing a lease and getting ready to deploy. I couldn't imagine what it's like for married couples who have to deal with children and being married. I see a lot of broken marriages in the military because of the length of the deployments, the extensions. I was actually extended in Iraq. It was supposed to be there for 6 months, ended up getting extended for 10. And having to deal with that was frustrating, doing detainee operations over there in Iraq. But that's just something, if I don't know what could better be. I guess like more time being back at home. We get 2 weeks to kind of just cool off and just deal with things, find a place to live, and kind of be with our families and trying to, I guess, just kind of fix what's been lost for that length of time. I mean, I guess that's pretty much it. That's one thing I really like to talk about, just being back. I guess just extending that, I guess, if that's a possibility.
Well, I think first and foremost, welcome home.
Thank you. Yeah. Just got home 2 months ago from Qatar, so that was my last appointment.
And it looks like you have a little bit of a support system here, too.
Yeah, my girlfriend.
And I think your father's mentioned you a time or two.
Madam Chair, if I may, to give a little context to this fine young airman's service, he has something in common with Representative Matthews, because Air Force Security Forces is the military police of the Air Force. And I believe Representative Matthews was a military policeman, if I recall correctly, before he decided to go to the dark side, which is the fire service. But in any event...
We refer to that as the varsity squad.
Oh, okay. Touche. In any event, that is exactly the field that I was in my 8 years active duty in the Air Force, was what Roy does now. And I was interested in what he had to say to the committee in terms of an active duty airman coming back from deployment and going next to another active duty base and still having the same need for that downtime, and whether single or married, that 14 days doesn't do it. Plus, they've got to transfer to a new base and find a place to live and get there on time and so on and so forth. So the issue of decompression and the ability to adjust even back to his family and his brothers is still a challenge that doesn't occur in a 14-day period. And that certainly, as you've heard myself and Paul Evans and General Caldwell, definitely doesn't work with the National Guard people. So we're hoping that the 90-day soft landing, which is being championed by Senator Ron Wyden in the United States Senate, will take hold with the Department of Defense, not only for our Guard and Reserve troops, but for our active duty folks as well. I think they have the same challenges in coming home and making readjustments that the Guard and Reserve have. So I'm really happy that Roy came here and could tell you, having just gotten home, how it's really like. So I appreciate him. Thank you for letting me comment, Madam Chair.
Absolutely. Representative Riley?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to welcome my fellow airmen. I was in the Air Force many, many, many years ago, right, long before you were born. But I really appreciate your service, and anybody that wears those airman stripes and serves has my admiration. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Matthews.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When we were walking over to the ceremony earlier, we were discussing, and as you say, you know, whether you're security police or military police, but, you know, we worked on a bill that had some language change, so a veteran is a veteran is a veteran.
Right.
But there's also this this idea that I think we need to get through to people that soldiers are soldiers are soldiers. So regardless of assignment, you share the same as I did, where you might be security patrol at home, but you become 11 Bravo or infantry on your deployments, and that can be true as well. So I know there are no safe assignments in today's military, and my heart goes to everybody, and I'm just very proud to have you here before us. I want to thank you for our service and your service, and And thanks for being here. I know your dad's very proud, and I know you're proud of him as well, even though you guys jib and jab each other like no other father-son combo. But I think that's great. And he's just beaming with pride, and just know you're on his mind and our minds all the time. Thank you.
Representative Widener.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Roy, if you could, I mean, just for me, because, and probably everybody on the committee, because I haven't asked you this outside of the committee, and did you notice a difference between returning from Iraq and Qatar, where Qatar was more peaceful and you didn't really see anything, versus you were in the battlefield when you were in Iraq?
The difference, Qatar was a pretty easy deployment because it was so peaceful. Iraq, on the other hand, was a little bit difficult to come back stateside. I didn't really know how to cope with coming back to the normal life, I guess, the normal lifestyle. I dealt with a lot of anger, very, 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 very hard. It was hard for me to control it, so I had to find ways to do that. Working out was the best way that I could figure it out, because I didn't know how to deal with it. So I would say that's probably the biggest thing that I've struggled with, and the hate that I had for him. Don't know if that's too bold, but that was something very, very hard to deal with as well. So
absolutely.
And just to follow up, Madam Chair.
Follow up.
Even after he worked out all the time, he still can't take his old man. So.
I'm almost tempted to see that put to the test, but that I'll hold it in. Representative Boone, quickly.
Thank you. Madam Chair, Roy, are you a pilot?
No, I'm a security forces member. Just okay. Like we talked about, infantry basically when I go over there. So.
But part of a team. One of the people I've met since my stay in Salem the last 4 years is a mechanic for a plane, and I didn't know this before, and I think he works for the Guard, but they travel with their planes. I was really impressed by that, almost like it's their pet, and they take care of it, and that's
basically, yeah.
Yeah, and so I was, you know, I fly a little bit commercially, but always a little bit nervous because you don't know who the last person was to work on that plane. But I feel like this is, I guess my point is, I feel like this is a whole different paradigm than it was when I was even younger than you. And Vietnam was happening, and the way people weren't welcomed when they came home or weren't appreciated. So I'm really happy to be part of this end of things at this point, that we can, and I, Sal, if I'd known you then, I would have welcomed you with a big hug too. But this is a real pleasure for us to be able to do what we can for you. And so we rely on you now that we know you. You look at what we're doing and let us know via your dad or directly to the chair. And let us know what you think of the bills that we're passing through here. If you think they're going to help and if they could be improved or anything, I would appreciate your input too, because you're the guy right here. Not to put any pressure on you.
No, I'll
good point. Representative Esquivel.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. In fact, Representative Clomp and I were walking back from today's reservice, and we were discussing the difference between today and Vietnam. In Vietnam, the American public interwove us with the policy. Today, the American public realizes that no matter what we have committed to or got you involved with, we know what you are and what you stand for. And it is separate from the policy. And that's something that's very important. When I came home and Jim came home, that certainly wasn't the case. Just what...
That's what we hope we all learned from that particular time frame, and why many of us feel very committed to doing things differently this time around. Representative Freeman, were you okay? Well, thank you very much for taking some time out of your day to come here and talk to us. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'd like to also recognize a member in the audience, member of the task force, Michelle Kuchowski, is that right? Would you? Kuchowski, I was close anyway. Would you like to add anything to this conversation? You don't have to, it's totally up to you.
I think
Well, we appreciate your service on the task force, and thank you for being here today. All right, with that, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2762 and open a work session on House Bill 2762. If that's acceptable to everyone, I thought it might be.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
Would you be willing to accept a motion moving the amendments?
I would, please.
I'd like to make a motion to place the amendments, the dash one amendments, in the House Bill 2762.
We have a motion for the dash one amendments to be added to House Bill 2762. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
And Madam Chair, I would like to make a motion to move House Bill 2762 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
We have a motion to move House Bill 2762 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Debbie, could you call the roll, please?
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Kong?
Aye.
Riley?
Aye.
Wagner?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Matthews?
Aye.
Chair Cowan?
Aye. Thank you. We need a carrier. I believe that since Representative Clem brought us this bill, he would like to. Representative Widener, would you like to be a co-carrier with Representative Clem?
That would be fine.
Okay. Thank you very much. With that, we'll close the work session and close this committee on Veterans Emergency Services. Thank you.